Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from the wonderfully chemtrailed, shall we say, Cayman Islands of the South Pacific. It's New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen, where it's so corrupt that even the people who are charged with investigating corruption are also corrupt. And so naturally, no corruption gets reported, and we're widely known as the least corrupt country on earth. I love that. My very special guest today is Brian McCarthy, and I noticed him laying down comments on a chemtrail debate that we were having on Facebook there, and these pituitary, extremely, well, it seems that they're, have you ever done a caricature of yourself, you know, like totally accentuated everything that was bad about your personality for all the world to see? It was like that. And there was a whole cacophony of them. I had to block multiple scumbags. And then Brian comes in and he starts laying out exactly what all of these people are saying, how they're saying it, why they're saying it, and why it's so frickin' rehearsed that he can practically predict what they're going to say next. Brian McCarthy, welcome to the program.
Hey, nice to meet you, Vinny.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a musician. I'm a composer. And a performer, composer, but trying to lean towards the composer side more. Been doing music all my life, basically. So I'm not a scientist or anything like that. I've just become very interested in this issue because, like everybody else who's got a brainstem, I've looked up and noticed the sky has changed quite a bit. And not just recently either. I mean, this has been going on for years. And I've noticed that whenever I went online and commented on any of these videos, and I'd see videos from all different countries, that I would immediately be attacked. And it was always the same attacks. You don't understand science. This is just normal water vapor trails. You must be a kook, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it would be happened so quickly, and I was just like, wait, that's why I was able to help you so easily on your Facebook page, because now when I see that happening, I alert people to it right away, because I'm aware it's not just somebody that's, a lot of times it's not just somebody online, it's definitely somebody being paid to monitor these type of sites to create confusion, in my opinion. I mean, yes, there are people that probably believe that too. But with the speed of which they respond to it makes me think that it's definitely being organized at some level, for sure.
Well, when you can tell that something's being organized, it usually has certain signs and is often predictable because they'll have a similar pattern, track record, etc., and you'll see it all over the place. And once you recognize a pattern, you can come about ways of dismantling the plan and the activity. And I believe this is kind of what you've done, or at least to a starting degree. I don't know how prominent you are over the web in terms of talking about this kind of behavior and how to deal with it.
It's funny. All I do, and I think I've opened up a lot of people's eyes to this by just using common sense. A lot of people get browbeat. They get told that, you don't understand science. And if this was really happening, the TV set would be telling us, you know? Well, first of all, any operation like this, when you see these trails, I've traveled all over the world, and I see them everywhere. And if you go on YouTube, you'll see there's people from all over the United States, from where you're from, New Zealand, Europe, everywhere, with these long, persistent trails. And everybody sees them. And a lot of people have noticed, wait a minute, what's going on here? And it's very simple to me to explain it as something that's not normal, because when you're driving in your car on a cold day, you don't leave a long trail of water vapor behind your car that lasts forever. And if you do, try telling the policeman that it's just normal water vapor. I mean, he's going to give you a ticket. He's going to say, hey, get your car fixed. So this whole story that, oh, no, there's nothing to worry about it. These planes are just leaving normal water vapor in the sky. That just is so, from a common sense viewpoint, it's impossible. It's not true. And right away when I noticed that everybody was saying that to me, when I would say, wow, look at this, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, it's just water vapor, I thought, hey, this is there's something going on here. And that's what made me investigate it more. And when I noticed that other people who were talking about it had the same attacks made on them by similar type people who seemed to be right away at, you know, coming online, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna make a little point of helping these people out who are trying to get this issue noticed more. And so that's how I got involved with this, because I care about it. I don't make any money by talking about it. I'm a musician, right? So why should I care about what planes are doing in the sky? Well, I care because what these planes are doing is they're blocking the sun. It's obviously changing the weather. It's obviously not natural. It's not water vapor. If it was water vapor, we couldn't even drive our cars in the wintertime, because what they're telling us is that, oh, this is just water vapor being formed by these engines' exhaust hitting the cold air up in the sky. Well, if that was true, nobody could drive their car in the winter, because everybody would be leaving persistent trails and we'd all be like, wow, I can't see, there's just haze everywhere. And that's not what happened. It's the same with when you exhale on a winter's day. You don't leave a persistent trail coming out of when you exhale. There's a little bit of a cloud, and then it dissipates. So right there,
unless you're in Colorado fresh after legalization. In that case, it takes quite a while for the cloud to dissipate.
So it's obviously not water vapor. And the fact that all these people seem to be consistently bent on saying that it is showed me that there's something going on here that is being hidden from us. And that made me concerned, and that's why I care about it. Because, hey, you can avoid GMO food to some degree. You can avoid a lot of things, but you can't avoid the air. You can't avoid breathing. And if they're spraying chemicals or aerosol particulates, whatever they're putting up there, we're all breathing it in, and it's affecting our health. And I think that can be proved. You can see that there's a rise in lung-related diseases, asthma. There's all these animal die-offs taking place. The weather is obviously getting very, very affected. And they're trying to blame it all on climate change, and we've got to reduce climate emissions and all that. Well, I hear all these people talking about carbon emissions, but I don't see anybody talking about all this pollution coming out of these planes. So to me, at the very least, even if you don't believe there's anything wrong and that this is just normal, at least you should be upset that whatever these planes are doing seems to be polluting the air in a very drastic way. And so if you're concerned about the environment and you're concerned about carbon emissions, why aren't you concerned about all the pollution coming from these planes?
Hey, yeah, and why aren't you concerned about, even if it was steam, why wouldn't you be concerned about the fact that it blocks out the sun, all right? Don't you think that sun, vitamin D, and all of those things are really important for people's health? And it's like, you come to the conclusion that real environmentalism has been frickin' hijacked by this climate change mob of gangsters funded by, what's his name, George Soros, I think.
Well, there's a bunch of people funding it. You know, people got to understand that the bankers, pretty much the international bankers, run the world. That's what the New World Order is about. It's about creating a global system that they control, banking system. And so, you know, if you control, it's just like Nathan Rothschild said a long time ago, let me control a nation's currency and I don't care who makes its laws. So the bank, everything starts from the banking. But it isn't just the bankers. It's, you know, you've got to have the military involved. Money needs to be backed by something. In the case of the American dollar, it's backed by oil sales. And I really believe what we're dealing with here is not global warming. We're dealing with an attempt to control the weather. Because anybody that just looks up at the sky can see that when these planes start spraying, they can turn a sunny blue sky day into a cloudy, overcast, cold, chilly day. in an hour, 2-3 hours sometimes. And that affects, so they are changing the weather. And they're affecting the weather a lot more than some guy driving his little Prius down the road or his Hummer or whatever car he's in.
Incidentally, the Prius that is made of lithium batteries, which they have to carve out large quantities of Canadian forest breathing room in order to extract that stuff, not to mention it gives off a whole lot of electromagnetic radiation, which gives you cancer. That'll teach you for trying to save the environment, you schlub.
First of all, there's no, you know what, here's the thing. I'm not against technology. I'm for technology. Look at, I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk to you today if we didn't have Skype and computers. And I love technology. I'm a musician. I love the fact that I can sit down and do a whole scenario of music.
Just in the same boat with you there, mate.
Yeah, I love it. But it's what we're not against here is the technology. We're against the use of the technology. And I think what we're seeing here is, I don't know if you ever heard of the word the phrase disaster capitalism, Vinny?
Yeah, basically you just cause a big crisis, and then as soon as everybody's share prices tumble, you just buy them all up for pennies on the dollar, and then you can buy entire countries pretty much overnight.
Exactly, and if you can control the weather, think of what you could do. You could create storms, you could create hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis.
Droughts.
Droughts. You could deny people the moisture they need.
And hey, and if nobody got no water, guess who's going to be living there? Nobody. Exactly.
And, you know, Monsanto is just coming out with their drought-resistant seeds. And how convenient for California. They're being droughted out, and they're the 50% of America's organic food comes from California.
Is that just after the aluminium-resistant seeds that they brought out?
Oh, yeah, they did the aluminum seeds-resistant seeds in 2010.
I can guarantee you they're going to have barium-resistant seeds, sure. Strontium-resistant seeds, Republican-resistant seeds, you know, any kind of thing you want.
Well, the thing is, you know, with Monsanto, with all these with the spraying and the weather modification, anytime the military does something, they never do it just for one reason. So, sure, there might be, they might have looked at the data and said, you know, we've got a little bit of a warming problem here. We might want to modify the weather and, you know, but that's not going to be the only reason they're going to do a major operation like this. There's a lot of benefits to controlling the weather. The weather is an incredible weapon as well. And one of the things, I'll just give you an example that I noticed. Remember all the typhoons that happened in the Philippines? There were 3 typhoons in a row in October 2013. Well, if you look at 2 months before that happened, there was an oil discovery made in the city is called Cebu, C-E-B-U. You can Google this and see it for yourself. But they discovered these vast oil reserves in Cebu, in the Philippines. 2 months later, 3 typhoons come through and completely wipe out that exact area, one after another. Now, a coincidence theorist will say, oh, you know, that's horrible luck. And oh, my God, 3 typhoons in the same area. That's just incredible. But a conspiracy theorist, somebody who can connect dots, will say, wait a minute. You know, they discovered all this oil in this very crowded area. And instead of going there and trying to figure out how to negotiate and get the rights to do it, hey, orchestrate a couple of big weather storms, wipe out the area, and then we can come in as humanitarians. And when you look at who was providing humanitarian aid, you've got the Red Cross, you've got Halliburton, Chevron. I mean, what a coincidence.
And incidentally, they were all locked and stocked and prepared with all, they were all locked and stocked and prepared with those supplies just after the typhoon hit.
Isn't that a coincidence?
And they take months. It takes like a month to prepare a ship full of supplies, for frack's sake.
It's just such an amazing coincidence that storm hit right where they discovered oil a couple months earlier. I mean, of course, if you see a connection there, you're just a kook, you know. You're just a wacko, and don't even, you know, you're put on your tinfoil hat and yada yada, you know. So this happens again and again and again, where you see that these weather events seem to take place in places where there are large oil deposits that are found. I'll give you another example. In Germany, they've had a hard time getting, you know, Monsanto basically closed down their German operations last summer, and the head of the German base of Monsanto, said, we're getting out of Germany. It's too hard here. There's too many regulations. We're going to go to countries where we can deal with the country's government without all these regulations. Well, 4 days later, there's this gigantic, almost historic flooding that took place in eastern Germany, northern Austria, the Czech Republic, Prague. And most of the areas that were flooded were farm areas. Now, again, you could say that's a coincidence, but it seems like Europe and this area that's had resisting GMO foods, and then all of a sudden there's a horrible storm that wipes out a lot of their farm area. And right after Monsanto said, yeah, we're going to go, you guys are too tough. And they leave, and then a big storm hits the whole area and wipes out a lot of the farmland and floods the area out. So, I mean, this happens again and again and again and again. And you can say, well, it's just one big coincidence after coincidence. But when you see these planes changing the weather with these sprays, and you know that this technology, I mean, they used it in the Vietnam War. They were experimenting with cloud seeding back in the 40s and the 50s. So you know they have the ability to change the weather, to cause storms, to cause droughts. And so to me, you're living in la-la land if you don't think that clever, intelligent people in banking and Monsanto, the military, wouldn't get together and go, hey, let's make some money. And it's the ultimate weapon, because a lot of people think that only God controls the weather. And only God can do that. So they can attack, they can destroy an area, and then they can come in and say, oh, isn't that terrible? And they can buy up that land for pennies on the dollar. Or they can get at the resources that they want to get at without having to deal with the people. And I really think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing weather modification being used for profit and as a weapon. It's not a pretty sight. A lot of people don't want to believe that. But I really think that's what we're seeing. And I think that's why the secret is why there's so many people being paid to troll these websites and to poo-poo the idea that it's happening. Because if it was just for global warming, Vinny, why not just admit to it? Why not just say, climate change is so bad, we're going to spray the atmosphere. We've got to block a little bit of the sun because global warming and climate change is such a bad thing.
I love it how at the same time as these trolls deny all of these things go on, the climate change movement is releasing video and campaign after video after campaign saying we need to spray the air with stuff. Sulfide particles and all of this kind of stuff. Like, they're promoting doing it as they deny that it's happening.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like they give you two scenarios. It's not happening, and you're crazy if you think it is. And then they give the smart, the scientific view, where this is something we might have to do. Here's what we might have to do. We might have to use jets, disperse aerosol particulates into the atmosphere, aluminum and metal oxides to reflect some of the sun's rays. But we shouldn't do it. Only if climate change gets really, really bad. And then all we hear from people in the media is that climate change is causing all this bad weather and global warming and CO2. Well, first of all, Vinny, I've done a little bit of reading. And like I said, I just have to make this clear to everybody. I'm not a scientist. I'm just somebody that likes to research things and look things up. And from what I've read about CO2 is that it's heavier than air, and that it sits, most CO2 is near the ground. Okay. So how could CO2 be causing global warming if CO2 is a heavier than air gas? In other words, it sinks down to the ground. What I think is going on here is that with the spraying that they're doing with all these aerosol particulates in the air, they're blocking the sun from getting into the stratosphere. Okay. Well, ozone is formed in the stratosphere from the sun's rays breaking up oxygen molecules, O2, oxygen is O2. You break the oxygen molecule into O1s, which is the atoms. The O1 atoms float around, they connect with other O2s, and you get O3, and that's ozone. But if you're blocking the sun, with these artificial clouds. The sun is not interacting with that oxygen, and as a result, is not creating as much ozone as it should create. So when they stop spraying, voila, it is hot. And I've noticed that. When they don't spray, that sun is hot. Okay? So it kind of is creating the global warming that they're claiming is happening from, you know, CO2 and all this other stuff. I think the real problem is the ozone layer and that the spraying is making it worse. And all I can tell you is that I've noticed, and anybody else that's been following, you know, has noticed these chemtrails and the geoengineering that's taking place, is that as the years have gone by, it's become more, the frequency has increased. There's more spraying taking place. Used to be, when I first noticed it, I lived in Las Vegas, okay? And I noticed every couple weeks, for a couple days in a row, I'd see all these planes flying back and forth. This is when I first noticed it. And I thought, whoa, what's going on here? And I thought they were just doing it in Las Vegas because it's so hot there. And I noticed I thought, oh, they're just making clouds because it's so hot. Well, then I started, you know, when I drove up to visit my family in Washington. I have friends and family that live in Washington State. I came up here, and all the way up, I saw them spraying everywhere, you know, in Utah, Montana, Idaho. I was like, this is going on everywhere. That's when I started to really pay attention. That was back in 2007, 2008. And since then, I've noticed that is the spraying went from 2 or 3 days every couple of weeks to 3 or 4 days a week to almost every day. And I noticed that when they try to stop, it gets very hot very, very quickly. So I think what they're doing is the more they spray, the more they have to spray. And so they're kind of caught in a vicious circle now where if they tried, even if they did stop, the temperatures would go up so fast because we don't have the ozone in the air that we should have. I don't know if that makes any sense or
well, it does. And, you know, people have been blaming the hole in the ozone layer on, like, CFCs from your fridges and stuff like that. It's like you could have... Yeah, and what I was thinking is that, you know, what's been... excuse me. HAARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. They've got facilities all over the world, including one 15 minutes drive from Christchurch, which had a massive earthquake, two massive earthquakes, amid thousands of other shocks, of course. And they punch massive quantities, and I mean like practically a million watts of radio frequency, just bam, microwave radiation right into the atmosphere to bounce it off.
You can see it because the clouds turn into these little... They look like waves. You know, when you drop a rock into a puddle, you'll see waves go out from it. And you can see that when they're doing it, you look up at the sky and all of a sudden the clouds out of nowhere turn into these little like waves, like the air becomes like waves. And that makes sense that if they are applying electromagnetic radiation into the atmosphere to heat it up, that it would be like throwing something into a puddle of water, that there would be waves going outward from where that rock hits in the water. Well, the same thing with electromagnetic radiation. If you shoot radiation up into the atmosphere to try to heat it up, there's definitely an energy source. There's a propulsion behind that. You know, if you're shooting something into the atmosphere and the rest of the air is going to ripple away from that area. And you can see it happening when they do it. So people could say, oh, that's just normal cloud formation. And well, you know, if that's the case, I've never seen clouds form in perfect little ripples like you would see on a pond when you throw a rock into the pond.
Sometimes people are just like, they're afraid of the implications so that they don't go with their gut, you know. Brian McCarthy is my guest. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Just remember to check out the homepage and have a look at our sponsors there. Also, bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the listening audience provides the bulk of the funding for this little operation so that we can listen to voices from all around the world and learn a little something. So if you want to start up a monthly gifting to the show here, please go to the PayPal buttons on the homepage, or if you're in New Zealand, there's a KiwiBank account there. So we'll be right back after the break with more from Brian McCarthy.
unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable.
And we're back here today with Brian McCarthy, and we're talking about chemtrails and also getting into some of the techniques and tactics used by paid, alleged chemtrail trolls that deny that this stuff is even going on, whilst at the same time as trying to promote it as a way of preventing climate change, which it's allegedly causing anyway. Have you noticed that whenever somebody's lying to you, nothing that they say seems to add up?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you have to also remember, too, with the deniers, if they're making a lot of money off manipulating the weather, controlling the weather, and they want people to think that this is being caused by their activity. In other words, they want you to feel guilty. And what I think is going on here is that we are dealing with we're not running out of oil. What's happening is we're running out of the easy to get oil. It's getting more expensive for them to get oil and natural gas. That's why they're engaged in fracking, offshore oil drilling, where they're drilling deep, deep down. You know, back when you and I were younger, there was a lot more oil near the surface. It was cheaper to get, easier to get. Well, now we have more people, more demand. We have the economies of China and India coming online. And the oil is further down. We have to drill deeper and farther down to get it. And I think one of the things that's going on with this climate change is that they're trying to convince people to become used to using less energy, to blame the weather on them. In other words, all this bad weather that's happening, it's because you're using too much heat or air conditioning in your home. You're driving your car too much, because they know they can't keep the system going with 7, 8, 9 billion people using the same amount of energy that they were using when they had, you know, had 4 or 5 billion or 3 billion people in the past. And so the elites don't want to lose their standard of living. They want to maintain, you know, their hotels and their airports and their homes. And they, you know, Al Gore wants to have his refrigerators, you know, to be able to fly in his private jets. But they know that if everybody has this access to petroleum, and that the whole economy is based on petroleum and petroleum products, that it's going to crash. So I think they're trying to talk people into the whole climate change argument based on that, well, it's because you're using too much oil. And so you're going to have to get used to paying more for your oil, carbon tax and all that. And look at what it's doing to the weather. It's wrecking the weather. When really, they're the ones manipulating the weather. It's kind of a Wizard of Oz trick. They're creating the bad weather. They're blaming it on our consumption. Okay. And I'm not believing. Look, I'm not saying that human beings aren't polluting the planet. Anybody can see, if you look back in the old pictures of L.A., there was smog over L.A., there was smog in New York. But what I think happened is when they tried to clear up the smog, they realized that the ozone layer had been damaged by all the smog and that there was a warming problem. And they didn't want the system to stop. The system is based on growth. They've got to keep making profit. They need more people to buy more stuff. The money's based on debt. Bankers need to keep loaning money to people. So how do you keep a system going when you're running out of the easy to get oil that the whole system is based on? Well, you have to convince them that they've got to pay a lot more for less. And I think that's why there is such a secrecy around this, because if people realize the weather is being manipulated by the military, and that there's being, that the prop, you know, just think of the heads that would roll. And if people realize all the profit is being made by using the weather as a weapon to blast out an area so that they can go in there, buy up the land for pennies on the dollar, and then they can offshore drill, they can buy up the land the farmers couldn't grow their crops on, and grow, and oh, you know, you don't want to grow crops here, you can't grow crops here, here's our drought resistant seeds, California. And by the way, speaking of California, last year, I don't know if your listeners in New Zealand are aware of this or another country, but last year, California had an initiative where they tried to make GMO food, foods that use GMOs, excuse me, be labeled. And they hired, you know, the Monsanto people hired all these spokespeople to come out and say that it would cost way too much and it wasn't necessary. GMO food is substantially equivalent to organic, and they defeated the measure. And now, ever since that measure was introduced, California has been absolutely droughted out. And they are in a serious problem. They're having a hard time. The farmers are wondering how they're going to grow crops this year. And so you got to wonder, once again, it's if they're using these weather modification tools, HARP, chemtrails, to deny that moisture to California, almost as like a kind of a punishment. Like, you know, you guys want to label your food and you want to try to push us out? Guess what? You don't get any water this year. And let's see you try to grow your organic crops with no rain. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. And again, it could just be a giant coincidence, but I don't think so.
Well, it stands to reason that if Monsanto and the New World Order would have official spokespeople that would go in front of the cameras and everything like that, and if they're making a lot of money, why wouldn't they have a whole army of unofficial spokespeople who you don't even know work for the company who are pushing for them behind the scenes and trolling all over the internet and stuff? Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. Just like you noticed on your Facebook page, when you tried to talk about it, you were instantly confronted with people that were just, the thing is they don't talk, they don't debunk what you're saying scientifically. They name call.
Here's one thing. I did this post and it had like about, like 12 ingredients of chemtrails or something of that nature and describing what they do, blah, 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 blah. And my friend CK, who's a denier, has this one reply to it, and it's a one-word reply, and it totally debunks everything I was saying. Science.
Well, again,
another guy from who's a radio show host here in New Zealand, who has probably a pitiful radio show compared to mine, also has a one-word reply. Oh, well, two-word reply. Water vapor.
Well, again, you know, if these were just water vapor clouds, they would dissipate quickly. And we've got to reemphasize the point that any engine that is leaving a persistent trail of material in the air is not functioning properly. And that if water vapor trails persisted, we could have no cars driving in the wintertime. The whole freeway, all the freeways and highways would just be inundated with haze.
Now we've already gone.
To drive anyway.
I know we've already covered this. Now I wanted to go into what are the other techniques and things of this nature that they're using, because there's actually quite a bit, and they throw scientific document papers or something at you, like they say, here, read this, and it's like 700-page scientific document paper about like chemtrails. It's just, you know, if they understood it themselves, they could explain it in a few sentences, but they don't. They try to put a whole bunch of stuff in you to make you feel guilty for not reading the other side of the argument, because it's just too long and boring and it doesn't make any sense anyway, because I've tried to read through these things. None of them have any relevance to the subject at hand, and it's kind of like a look over here, like a distraction to try and waste your time.
Well, it's, you know, there's a thing you can Google on, I think it's called the Welsbach patent, and that describes exactly what we're seeing now with these aerosols, where they talk about using aluminum, barium, metal oxides to reflect sunlight particles for solar radiation management. Chemtrails is a really bad word to use, because it's been thrown out, and there's been so much negative disinformation attached to it. The better phrases are geoengineering, solar radiation management. Those terms, if you Google those terms, you'll find the Welspac patent. You will see that there are people like David Keith, Ken Caldera, that are talking about it, albeit in the future sense. And then you'll find guys like Dane Wigginton, who, in my opinion, he's one of my heroes, because he's one of the few people that is really talking about this in a truthful way and is really promoting the fact that, hey, look, folks, you're concerned about carbon emissions and pollution, but why not? Why are they not talking about this? And that's all I would ask. I think that I'm all for reducing emissions from engines. I'm all for, anything that'll make the environment better. I'm all for getting away from oil and gas and using more, cleaner energies if we can, whenever possible. But let's talk, if we're going to be honest about environmentalism, then why are these people not talking about the pollution? Forget the weather modification and HARP and all that. Anybody, I think, can look up at the sky and say, wow, there is a lot of pollution coming out of these jets. And I think that's the way to get people into facing what's going on and to debunk the debunkers, the people who say you're crazy, you don't know what's going on. Obviously, there is something going on. And one of the things I do also when you encounter, and I would tell everybody to do this, when you're trying to discuss this subject with other people and inform other people, you're going to encounter these people that will right away call you a kook and a tinfoil hat and nut. And they'll, like you say, throw a 700-page report, that is, nobody's going to read a 700-page report that probably doesn't have anything to do with the subject anyway. And what I do is I just block those people. I block them. I refute their claims. And that way, instead of having a long thread where they're calling me names and I'm saying they don't know what they're talking about, to me, there's no more argument about this. The proof is overwhelming. There's visual evidence. You can see, this is one conspiracy you can see with your own two eyes. You can look up and go, wow. There was a blue sky at 8 o'clock in the morning, and now 75 jets later, there isn't a blue sky. And anybody that's over 35 knows that's not normal. That's not the way it used to be. Here's another one you can debunk. A lot of people say, well, you just live near an airport. That's why you're seeing all those jets. And I live in Spokane, Washington right now, currently. And we're near an Air Force base here. And we've got an airport. But anybody knows that with any airport, the plane starts coming down 30 to 45 minutes before it lands. And a lot of these jets that you see doing the spraying are way, way up. So I live a few miles from an airport. There's no way those are passenger jets. They're too small. They're unmarked. They're flying in all different directions. And if they were passenger jets, they should be much, much lower, because they're very near the airport and they should be coming down to land. So, I mean, there's so many reasons that this is happening. It's so obvious. There's so much evidence. My plea to people would be to not argue with these people anymore. We need to reach out to people that don't know this is happening, but are open-minded, that are, or the people that see it happening and go, that's kind of strange. The people that are against it are, in my opinion, there's two kinds of people that are still don't think this is happening. They're either shills, or they're people that are cognitive dissonance. They just don't want to deal with it. They're like, no. The same kind of mindset you're dealing with people that don't want to believe anything as far as 9/11 goes, or they don't want to believe that fluoride is bad for you, or, there's a lot of people that just, it's too much for them. They have all they can handle with their kids and their job. And then you come along and tell them that there's this geoengineering thing going on and they just shut down. They go, oh, So once again, I think we have to not argue. We have to realize that a lot of people don't want to know about it, and that we don't need everybody to know about this. And that's my how I deal with it. And so that's what I was telling you when we were talking on Facebook, is that just block these people. Talk to the people who are open to it. The more people we get aware of this happening, the more there's a chance we can at least get them to reduce these operations.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? One time I was invited to join the New Zealand Journalists Association on Facebook. It's a Facebook page with about 1,300 members or so, all of which pretty much are New Zealand media people, mainstream media people, to most of them. And I'd post up questions like, what is the formula for investigating conspiracy or anything like that? And you get these angry replies, this abuse and everything. It's like in clear violation of all the rules of the group. And they kick me from the group for causing too much. it's just basically people don't want to hear about it. All right. Nobody wants to hear about it. I never wanted to hear about it in the first place. But after a while, it gets to the point where you can't not hear about it.
You can't ignore
it. Yeah.
You can't. Well, look, you think I want to be talking about this stuff? I'm a musician. I would much rather just be working on music and happy. But when you see this going on and it becomes very obvious that something is not right, as a normal human being, you want to tell other people, go, hey, do you see this happening? One of the things, I got to bring this up. I encounter this term conspiracy theorist, and I want to tell anybody who's listening to me right now, human beings do nothing but conspire, okay? It is a miracle, and it's a brilliant stroke of brainwashing and propaganda that the elites were able to convince people that conspiracy theories, you know, if you believe in a conspiracy, you're crazy. Human beings do nothing but conspire. Businessmen conspire to make more money. Sports teams conspire together how they're going to win the game. You know, they've got the coach and the players. The military conspires how they're going to win a battle, how they can create this new weapon that'll, you know, it'll be unstoppable by the enemy, the other side. And on and on. Now, even musicians conspire. We get together and we practice and rehearse, and you're going to play this and I'm going to play. That's what human beings do. We're great at conspiring. So a conspiracy theorist is just somebody who's trying to connect the dots. But what happened is after JFK died, anybody that didn't buy the story that Oswald acted alone was a conspiracy theorist. Because a conspiracy implied that more than one person is involved. And they had to have people thinking that only Oswald shot Kennedy, which is obviously not true, because Oswald was behind Kennedy and Kennedy got shot in the front. So there's no way that I know of for somebody to shoot somebody from the back and hit him in the front of the head. So that was a term they came up with to debunk anybody that said, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe there was more than one person involved with JFK. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And it's been very, very effective at silencing any argument. When you think about it, even the official story of 9/11 is a conspiracy theory. Now, that being said, human beings do nothing but conspire, blah, 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 right? But that doesn't mean that all conspiracies are true. So there's both sides to this coin. A lot of people I hear talking about conspiracies are just way out in left field. They don't have anything to back up what they say. They speculate, and the government uses conspiracy theories to explain things. For example, 9/11. I mean, if that isn't a kooky conspiracy theory, I don't know what is. So the fact that you come up with a conspiracy theory doesn't mean that it's true or false. Just like technology can be used for good or bad purposes. But to call somebody a conspiracy theorist and that somehow makes them a bad person, to me, is just ludicrous. All detectives are conspiracy theorists, CSI people. So the word has been used to make people feel ashamed. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, just say what you want to say, use the evidence to support it, and, you know, human beings do conspire. If you read history, you'll see that. And does that mean that all conspiracies are true? No, it does not. Does that mean that all conspiracies succeed? Of course not. Many of them fail. But does that mean that nobody ever conspires and that everything is just happening? That's ludicrous. People who are rich and powerful do not just sit back and react to events. They create the event they want to happen. Problem, reaction, solution. They know how to control the situation so that they can benefit off of the end result. And they're not sitting back and reacting to everything. And most people have a trouble accepting that because most people are in reactive mode. Most people are just getting up, going to work, and then, oh my God, something happened, and they just react to it. So they have a hard time understanding that men with power and influence get together with other men with power and influence and say, hey, you know, if we do this and we do that, you can benefit and so can I. Hey, let's do it. You know, they don't want to believe that. And we've got to get over that mentality. We've got to break that phrase, conspiracy theorist. What I use is when people don't want to believe in conspiracy theorists, I call them a coincidence theorist.
It's funny. You know, the telescope was invented by 9 guys on the same night, different sides of the Earth. They never knew each other, right? And also the story goes, well, my friend Barry, who donates me petrol vouchers every now and again that he gets sent for free because of his credit card or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but he gives me like $100 worth of fuel vouchers every couple of months. It's really handy. And he came up with that independently of you. Talking about coincidence theorist and conspiracy theorists, you know, a whole lot of other people have come up with reality analyst and any bunch of names. Personally, I like the term conspiracy theorist, and I'm proud to be called one because it means, of course, I'm not a coincidence theorist, which is basically the most naive and insane person you could possibly be.
Let's debunk this one, too. One of the things people who don't believe in conspiracies will say is that, well, if it was really true, nobody could keep a secret like this. If 9/11, let's say if 9/11 was really done by people in, you know, in factions of our government or in the military or whatever, they wouldn't be able to keep this type of a secret. Somebody would have talked. Well, first of all, many times people do talk and they get labeled conspiracy theorists.
Or killed. in really innocent-looking accidents, right. Like hanging themselves and trying to struggle to get free.
Yeah,
yeah. Or like having a stress heart attack while you're relaxing in your frickin' jacuzzi.
I mean, the other thing about it is that people don't understand how most corporations work with the pyramid model, you know, and military as well. There's only a small people at the top who understand what's really going on. And then everything is compartmentalized. So like, say, for example, with the geoengineering we're seeing, people say, well, why aren't the pilots coming forward and telling you, why isn't somebody? Well, there are a few that have tried to come forward. But the main reason that there aren't more people coming forward is because you've got one group of people probably that builds the planes. You've got maybe one company that builds the nozzle. You might have another group of people that are in charge of the drone operation. Because a lot of these planes that are spraying these chemtrails are drones. You can tell. They're little white, tiny little planes. They're not pilots. They're drones. It's the I found this out, you know, 6-7 years ago when I lived in Las Vegas, that I knew people that went to work in Nellis Air Force Base, went into a nice air-conditioned room, sat down in front of a computer, and operated drones in Iraq. So, you know, the fact that, well, why aren't these pilots coming forward and talking about this? This is how they keep secrets. So what I'm trying to say here is they can keep secrets. And compartmentalization is one way they do it. The other way they do it is, as we just mentioned, is intimidation. The people who are close to the top of the pyramid who know what's going on, they know if they come forward and try to talk, they'll have a little accident. They might fall off the top of a, you know, from a nine story, from the ninth floor of a hotel or something.
Or might accidentally get shot in the head with a nail gun six times in both
might
sides of the head.
Might shoot themselves in the head a couple of times and leave a note and say, you know, I'm doing this for the children, you know?
The note that was written after he shot himself in the head
exactly.
six times, of course.
And this is how the mafia did it, too. It's like people in the old days have to remember that say, oh, there's no conspiracies, right? Well, in the old days, that's what Al Capone used to say. He'd say, well, Al, people say you're in organized crime. What do you have to say to that? He'd say, there's no mafia. That's a conspiracy. That's ridiculous. So for a long time, that was the way they hid the mafia, was they said, there is no mafia. Look at what they do now. I mean, you can go on YouTube and watch documentaries of all the different guys that were in the mob and who they killed and what they did. So obviously, people do conspire. And so, and they are able to keep secrets. And just because you, when you go to work, people say, well, when I go to work, nobody keeps a secret in my office. You know, people are basing their own experience with their families or their workers at the office, and they're using that again as a basis of, well, see, everybody I know, nobody keeps a secret. So how could they keep a secret with chemtrails or 9/11?
Not to mention, how would you know? Are you telling me that you know all the secrets of everybody you've ever met? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that when somebody gets hired at KFC, they get, on the first day of the job, given the Colonel's secret recipe? Now you're part of the club, son. Your very first day on the job, we've given you no training whatsoever. Here's the most guarded secret of the entire thing, which only the CEO and everything else are supposed to know. But really, we... But really, we tell everybody about it and that kind of thing. And it's like, oh, well, they couldn't keep a secret if it was that widely spread, would they? You know what the secret ingredient is? It's frickin' MSG.
Three words need to know. Anybody that knows, anybody in the military knows that when you're in the military, you're on a need-to-know basis with everything. That's how they compartmentalize it. You know, you work on one part of an operation, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You don't get told why you're doing it. You don't... You know, some guy doesn't come in and sit down with the guy building these drones and say, okay, here's what we're going to use the drones for. We're going to be going here. And you know, Dick Cheney doesn't walk in and say, okay, now let's all talk here. Like you said, you just get told what you're going to do. You do it. And that's it. You need to know. Yep. And if you try to ask a soldier, you don't need to know. Just, you know, or
if you keep asking questions consistently, you'll soon find yourself pulling duty on a radar station in Alaska somewhere. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Brian McCarthy. Remember to check out the website, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. We'll be right back.